Court will proceed to the sixth case of the day, the United States v. Lunsford. Ms. Day.
Melissa Day on behalf of Kenneth Lunsford. May it please the Court. Mr. Lunsford has raised three issues in his brief. I will note that the third one is one that has become recently very frowned upon by this Court, and I will be addressing the first two issues today. The first two issues are actually quite intertwined, that being a five-level enhancement under the United States Sentencing Guidelines, Section 2G2.2B5. That particular enhancement is one that is imposed in cases of this nature where there is a pattern of an activity involving exploitation or abuse of a minor. That same enhancement is also at issue in the second argument, where we're arguing a type of sentencing double jeopardy. In Mr. Lunsford's case, he received three enhancements as a result of this particular prior conviction, which is a 2000 conviction, which did involve the exploitation or abuse of a minor, as that term is defined under the guidelines. His current case, however, involves child pornography, receipt and distribution, which is specifically excluded from that definition of pattern of activity. In his case, he received a statutory enhancement increasing his mandatory minimum to 15 years and a respective enhancement to his maximum sentence based upon the prior in 2000. He also received criminal history increase. In fact, I believe he had 8 criminal history points, and every one of those was attributed to the prior convictions in 2000. And then he had the 5-level increase under the guidelines section 2G2.2B5, the pattern of activity enhancement. Interestingly, the current case did not involve any activity of exploitation or abuse of a minor, as that term is defined. It only involved the receipt or trafficking in child pornography. And that's really the essence of the first argument.
Well, I'm glad you're getting to that first argument, because I don't understand how we can rule in your favor on pattern of activity on that enhancement without overturning Lovis.
What I see as a distinction in Lovis is that Lovis actually was accused of enticement of a minor, which falls into the definition of a pattern of activity involving the exploitation or abuse of a minor. He did not plead to that particular count. He pled only to the trafficking counts and the child pornography. But his relevant conduct in the current case clearly involved the exploitation or abuse of a minor, because he was using his computer to entice minors for the purposes of sex, and there was actually some overt behavior in that.
But so, as you pointed out, the conviction was for possession and transmitting material in Lovis.
But the relevant conduct in the current case actually included this other behavior, and there is absolutely no allegation of any type of behavior of that nature. So I think it is actually distinguished from Lovis, because you've got a pattern of activity. You've got the prior convictions, which in his case were not counted in criminal history because they were so old. But you have that prior activity, and you have that activity in the current case. You don't have that in Mr. Lunsford's case. I did think I should clarify that in the record, I noted this morning as I was reading through the transcript, at pages 14 and 15, it talks about those prior convictions, and there's one reference to it being in 2005, which would make it sound like it was related to this case, but all the references are actually to the 2000 convictions. They're not to anything in this current case. If you read pages 14 and 15, I think it clarifies that. It's talking about the prior convictions. I think that makes a really big difference. And when read actually in conjunction with some of the case law that we deal with the second argument, in particular, Mongi or Monge versus California, where they're talking about the use of enhancements, and you can have enhancements based on priors, and you can have enhancements which go to the manner in which the offense was committed. That's, I think, what the essence of this 2G2.2B5 enhancement is supposed to be. It's supposed to go to the manner in which the offense was committed. So the pattern of activity has to relate to the manner in which the offense was committed. And in this case, it has absolutely no connection. In Lovas, it had a connection because of the fact that he was trying also to lure children for sexual activity. None of that occurred in the instant case. Moving on to the triple jeopardy, sentencing jeopardy issue. First of all, the issue of waiver was raised by the government. I'd like to address that and say, you know, that was an unknown issue at the time of the change of plea, that this enhancement would be used or that there would be a triple use of this one prior. There are cases that they cite to regarding waiver, but they don't have to do specifically with sentencing issues. They had to do with not reserving a motion to suppress or issues that were related to the trial. In this particular case, this issue wasn't known until the time of sentencing. It was properly reserved at the time of sentencing for argument, so I don't think there is a waiver issue. But I do think that we have that problem here. How many times can you use one prior conviction? Obviously, he's served his time. He's done his sentence on that particular case. The Supreme Court has found that that can be calculated into his criminal history because that does not go to double jeopardy for that purpose. And there's also a statutory enhancement in this particular case that's based upon that. But then we have this third use of that in this case. And if you eliminate that five-level enhancement in this case, it gets around that problem that right there eliminates the triple jeopardy problem that exists here, the double jeopardy problem, depending upon how you look at it. And again, where there is no related behavior in the current case justifying the use of that enhancement, it seems wholly appropriate to eliminate that enhancement and eliminate the problem of the repeated and somewhat illogical use of that particular prior in this case. I think that the arguments are well set out in the brief. If you have further questions, I'm happy to address those.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Day.
Thank you.
Mr. Leggins?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Leggins, and I have just a couple of quick points to make. I agree with Judge Williams that the Lovas case would have to be overturned in this case in order for the defendant to receive the relief that he is seeking. The distinction that counsel tries to make, that in the Lovas case there was also relevant conduct in that case involving the exploitation of a minor, is a distinction that makes no difference, because if you take a close look at the Lovas case, the court there based the five-level enhancement on the fact of a 26-year-old prior event that was not relevant conduct in that case. So the mere fact that there may have also been relevant conduct in Lovas, which would have given rise to the five-level enhancement, makes no difference, because the district court in Lovas did not base its the five-level enhancement on relevant conduct. It based the enhancement on 26-year-old conduct, and this court affirmed that five-level enhancement in that case. So I think Your Honor is correct. This court would have to overrule Lovas in order to give the defendant the relief that he seeks. The second point I have to make is with regard to the double jeopardy issue. I think this court, to afford the defendant the relief he seeks on that basis, would also require this court to overrule a precedent. While it's not directly on point, this court decided in United States versus Hudspeth that these types of enhancements, in that case in the Armed Career Criminal Act, where a defendant has his criminal history enhanced, he has his mandatory minimum enhanced, he has his guidelines enhanced, he has his maximum sentence enhanced, this court said that does not violate double jeopardy principles. So other than that, Your Honors, I will stand on the brief for the remainder of my arguments, and if this court has no further questions, thank you very much.
Your Honors, only briefly in response to, again, the Lovas decision, those priors were old, but that alone didn't establish the pattern of activity. One prior doesn't establish a pattern of activity with the current case if there is no activity related to that in the current case. And that's the point. You have prior convictions in that case, but through having the enticement of a child, you get to jump through that hoop and get a pattern of activity, which doesn't exist here. And in Hudspeth, one of the points that the court made was that double jeopardy didn't exist in an appropriately calculated guideline range, and our position is it wasn't appropriately calculated for a couple of reasons, most predominantly because it shouldn't have been applied. The five-level enhancement should not have been applied. If there are any other questions?
I guess not. Thank you, Ms. Day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.
Thank you.